Join me. You may be able to help solve a mystery.
Welcome to another You Solved a Mystery. My name's Athena.
And I'm Chandra. And if we sound exactly the same, it's because we're twins.
If you're new here, you have just tuned into a podcast where we delve into segments of the iconic show Unsolved Mysteries that have been solved and reveal the final chapter. Today, we're jumping straight into the story.
Okay.
Except I'm going to repeat myself a little bit up
top. Okay.
Because, as I've said, this is from special number 3. And until recently, specials 1 and 2 were available in their original format, but 3 through 7 I was not able to find. Now, I believe 4, 5, 6, and 7 were all actually hosted by Robert Stack. And so they were reworked into episodes hosted by Robert Stack. So they are included in seasons 1 and 2 of the show. But special 3, I've never been able to find, which means I have not seen this segment. There was an update included in season 1, episode 1 with Robert Stack. So I've seen that. And there are a few of those. There are multiples that FilmRise did not include in its recutting of the series. For whatever reason, I don't know. But there will be some that I tell the story of that I just never got to see the original segment.
Was special 3 not Robert Stack?
No. Special number 3 was hosted by our good friend, Mladen Sekulovic.
Ah, our good friend.
Carl Malden, as he is known in Hollywood. One thing that I haven't been doing that I want to start doing is explain what kind of segment it is. So Unsolved Mysteries had missing, mystery, lost loves, murdered, things like that. And this segment was under missing heirs.
Intrigue.
If someone out there just so happens to have, you know, a VHS tape, they taped right off of television of the original episodes that they want to send, I will buy myself a VHS player to watch those. But for now, this is the story of the missing heirs of George Marsh.
Tell me, who is George Marsh?
Well, I'll tell you. George Marsh was a Protestant who was burned at the stake for heresy in 1555 and deemed a martyr.
Oh, so I wouldn't know him.
No. And that George Marsh also made it difficult for me to find a lot of information on my George Marsh.
Oh.
That I'm going to tell you about right now.
Oh, different George.
Yeah. Lots of scholarly articles and reviews about 14th century George Marsh and not as much about
George Marsh of the missing heirs.
Yes. On October 21st, 1982, a man called George Marsh passed away at the age of 94 in a nursing home in Kansas City, Missouri.
That's a nice old age.
After no family came forward, it was discovered that he had an estate worth between $175,000 and $190,000, spread across 9 secret checking accounts at 4 different banks.
Wow.
This information was given to the County Public Administration's office, whose job was to find heirs, but they had very little info to go off of. George didn't talk much about his past. George was described in the segment as being downright secretive.
What was he hiding?
I'm going to tell you right now, there are still questions. Finding more info about George Marsh raised more questions in my mind. But we'll get there. Among his few possessions was his birth certificate, which showed that he had been born Joseph Zelenka in Czechoslovakia, and a document that showed that he had divorced a woman named Catherine Zelenka in 1932. Investigators also found several family photographs, one with Catherine written on the back, one of a young boy and one of a girl with her bob looking on point and "Your loving niece, Eleanor," written on the front. Part of the difficulty identifying George was that his apartment building burned down in a fire in 1979. It had destroyed nearly all of his belongings and forced him to move into the nursing home. The nurses at the home were able to provide a little info, but very little. One shared that he spoke with a German accent, was right-handed, one of his right fingers was cut off at the joint, and that he had the numbers 3, 4, 5, 7 written on his arm.
And a tattoo?
I assume that by written they meant tattoo. And so I looked it up to try to find out why that might be. And I found that it might have significance in numerology or in the Bible, but I'm not sure. He told another nurse that he had had a son who he had not seen for years. The air investigator, a man named Michael Ledman, was able to get a little more information by talking to people who knew George. A store manager where George had been a customer for 10 years said George always tried to buy the cheaper items and always paid with cash, which could explain how he amassed his small fortune, which was actually a fairly large fortune for the time. In 1982, $175,000 was worth over $466,000 today. So that's close to $500,000.
I thought the idea of $100,000 was already pretty exciting.
I wouldn't sneeze at it. During his time at the nursing home, George did have a visitor. She called herself Miss Marsh and stated she was his sister from New Mexico. Now here's the thing. His given name was not Marsh. So his sister's name wasn't Marsh either. Also, it was discovered that George had two sisters, and as far as I can tell, one lived in Utah and the other stayed in Wyoming. Neither were in New Mexico. So Miss Marsh from New Mexico was probably not his sister.
Hmm.
Who was she? I don't know. Whatever the case, Miss Marsh was never tracked down, and the mystery of George's heirs remained just that, a mystery. Until 1989, a 71-year-old woman named Eleanor Tolar was watching a rerun of a TV show called Unsolved Mysteries and was shocked to see her high school graduation photo on TV. She then saw the photo of George shared in the broadcast and recognized her Uncle Joe. George Marsh was born Joseph Zelenka on May 13, 1888 in Czechoslovakia to parents Vaclav and Lenore Tomei Zelenka. He had four siblings, Frank, James, Sophia, and Anna. And I believe because of his brother James's obituary that the family emigrated to the United States in 1909. The Zelenka family were some of the earliest residents of Rock Springs, Wyoming, and George's parents were very popular there. His mother, Lenore, passed away in 1920, and there was a very sweet obituary in the local paper that was short, so I wanted to read it. It was in the Rock Springs Miner, number 51, on December 17th, 1920, in the Reliance Ramblings section. The sad death of Mrs. V. Zelenka occurred at the Rock Springs Hospital last Friday evening. Her death was a shock to her many friends, for she had been in seemingly perfect health until last Monday evening, when she had a paralytic stroke. Everything that love or money could possibly do for her was tried, but it was of no avail. Her husband, two daughters, Mrs. John Bostelik and Annie, and three sons, Frank, John, and James, are left to mourn the departure of a loving and faithful wife and mother. The entire community extend their heartfelt sympathy to the family.
That is very sweet.
Yeah.
It's very community-oriented feeling.
I will note that it mentions her husband, two daughters, and three sons, Frank, John, and James. But not Joseph.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't catch that. Huh.
In 1931, his father, Vaclav, died. The Rock Springs Rocket reported, quote, Vaclav Zelenka of Reliance died due to cancer. He was 71 years old and had lived at Reliance for the last 20 years, where he was in the employ of the Union Pacific Coal Company. During his residence in this community, he and his family have become well known, and they have many friends here.
So cute. It makes me want to be a part of a community. And then I remember my paralyzing anxiety that prevents me from getting close to people. And then I'm sad.
Oh, George might have shared in some of your experience a little bit. Back in 1917, when he was 29, George had left the family's home and moved to Kansas City, Missouri, where there are few records of what he did. But according to the Unsolved Fandom Wiki, he worked as a night watchman for the Armor Meat Packing Company for 60 years. A document found among his possessions showed that George had divorced a woman called Catherine Zelenka in 1932, and sometime after that, he seems to have married or at least resided with a woman named Lula Mae Marsh, but her name disappeared from voter registration records in 1946, indicating either death or divorce.
I'm sure a lot of this is just incomplete family records, but it sure does seem mysterious.
Yeah. Back to 1989, Eleanor, George's niece, who lived in Rock Springs, Wyoming, saw her high school graduation picture on television. She alerted George's other relatives, and they pulled together birth certificates, photos, and other documents that linked them to George. His brother Jim had been looking for him since 1931, the year their father died.
Wow.
After a Jackson County probate judge ruled George was indeed the lost relative of the Zelenkas, his money was split between 22 to 25 heirs. His brother Jim received 1/4, and the rest received the modern equivalent of about $14,500.
So Jim was the only relative from his immediate family that remained?
Yeah, he was predeceased by his other brothers and sisters. And according to the update on Unsolved Mysteries, it was the decision of Jim and Eleanor to split the money amongst the family.
Huh.
They didn't care so much about the money. They cared about finding George. And they arranged to have him moved to the family burial plot.
But was there a reason that he wasn't there by his own designs?
That's a question that isn't answered.
No!
I know.
You can't tell me that.
I only have a little bit more insight, which comes from his brother Jim's son-in-law, Grant Christensen, who acted as the spokesman for the family after George was identified. And he told the Salina Journal in 1989, quote, "It's kind of like bringing him home," end quote. He said something interesting, though. He said, quote, "I don't know how he would feel about it, but that's what we're going to do," end quote.
Hmm.
According to Jim, in the update, there were no hard feelings. They were a close family, and they supported each other. And they would have been in contact with him, given the opportunity.
But they weren't. Since the 30s.
It seems to me that George might have been the black sheep of the family. Grant Christensen told the journal, quote, "Even as a young man, he would appear out of nowhere with large sums of money. He also was a very nice man, but he always had a different woman with him," end quote. The Salina Journal also reported that Jim had written a letter to the court stating that George might have used an alias because he did not want to hurt the family name.
So he was a rapscallion and was looking out for his family?
Possibly. Between the mysterious Miss Marsh, who visited him at the nursing home, and randomly acquiring large amount of cash, I wonder if he was a gambler or something. Historically, I think gambling has been seen as sort of degenerative. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
something to be ashamed of.
Yeah. Like a blight on the family name.
Yeah. And so perhaps some people in George's family, or maybe the community in which they lived, saw it that way. We know from the store manager who was interviewed by the air investigator that George was thrifty, but that doesn't explain sudden windfalls.
Maybe it wasn't sudden windfalls. Maybe over the course of his life since the 30s, the last time he saw his family, he had been slowly saving up money. Maybe he invested it in something.
Maybe he spent all of his time working. Like, he had this nighttime meatpacking security job. Maybe he had other daytime jobs. Maybe he just worked his ass off.
So what I'm picking up now is that you're not going to tell me how he got his money.
I don't know.
I thought this was a solved mystery.
No. That's why I said learning more about this story actually raises really interesting questions that it would be awesome to have an answer for, but I don't know that they exist anymore. So I wonder if Miss Marsh was a girlfriend or a business partner, since he was always with a different woman. Maybe she was a girlfriend. Or if she was a business partner, she could have been there talking to him about investments or gambling plans or anything like that. Or maybe she was just a friend, but then why would she go by Miss Marsh, his name? Why would she say what she was his sister?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they had some strict rules in the home about who was allowed to visit, except that would be terrible, so probably not.
That would be terrible. It's possible, but I would hate to hear it. There are no spouses or children listed on George Marsh's Find a Grave site. So if he had a son, as he told the nurse at the home, he must have really lost contact.
So, how did his niece even know who he was when he had been missing from the family since the 30s?
She had given him her graduation photo, and so she knew him through high school, and they showed a photo of him and Lula Mae Marsh. So it was when he was younger. So she saw that photo, and she was able to recognize him from that.
And then, since then, and not having contact any longer at some point, maybe he had had a son.
Yeah. So maybe it's that he had a son with Lula Mae Marsh, and they were never legally married. So then, if they split up at that point, it would make it a lot harder, especially in those days, to actually find that son. As I was doing research for this, I thought maybe he just wasn't a sentimental guy. But he kept family photos, including Eleanor's, for all of that time, which doesn't speak to someone who lacks sentiment. But then again, he wasn't sentimental enough to go home or contact family after the deaths of his siblings.
It just makes me think that there's got to be something going on with, I don't know, between him and one of his family members, or something that he's ashamed of. And if he was out of touch, then he wouldn't have known if he was avoiding one of them, whether they were still alive or dead. So he would just stay out of touch.
On the other hand, as he got older, you'd have to imagine he'd realize that his siblings were getting older as well. And if Jim had been looking for him since 1931, which was the year their dad died, I wonder if his dad's funeral was the last time he saw them, or if he didn't go to the funeral, and that's why Jim started looking for him and looked for him for over 50 years.
Maybe he became a spy. This is going to be my headcanon now. He was a spy.
In the update, Jim Zelenka, who's this adorable elderly man who just seems tickled pink by the fact that he's finally found his brother after all these years, says, quote, "I would never know, no idea, why he kept away from the family. Because there was no hard feelings. We were all united, always, in everything." Jim passed away in 1995 and Eleanor in 1998. But before that, George's body was moved to Rock Springs Cemetery, where he rests beside the family that finally found him.
We're not done here.
That's all I have.
No, this is not a solved mystery. This is some answers and more questions. I don't care if the answers aren't even interesting. I just want them.
I agree. Now, in the scope of unsolved mysteries, this was filed under missing heirs. The heirs were found.
That's not the point.
I mean, it is the point.
No.
But I don't disagree that there are a lot of questions, or at least a couple, that I would very much like to know the answer. Who is Miss Marsh?
And why did he not contact his family for 50 years?
Those answers I do not have.
Record scratch.
If I can find one online, I'm going to insert a record scratch right there. Greetings. Hello. It's Athena and Chandra from the future.
We have come here in our time machine that is simply time passing.
Great Scott. So the day after we recorded this episode, I got a newspapers.com subscription, and quite frankly, I was a fool for not getting one sooner, because I found so much information for other episodes, and I found a little more information for this one.
Do tell.
So, a 1987 article in the Kansas City Times doesn't definitively answer the questions that we had, like, why didn't he contact his family, or where did he make his money, but it did offer some solid insight. So, the heir investigator that I mentioned before, Michael Ledman, had located a divorce petition filed by George's first and only confirmed wife, Catherine Zelenka. According to the petition filed in 1932, George was involved in, quote, commercialized vice.
Which is...
There are some theories. The petition also claimed, and this is not good, that George threatened to have Catherine killed unless she mortgaged some of their items to him.
Well, that's really not cool.
It's not cool at all.
Not cool, George.
Mm-mm. The paper also reported, so it's confirmed, that the last time the family saw George was at his dad's funeral. So as for this commercialized vice, Michael Ledman thought that it probably referred to sex work. But as for Jim, the paper quoted him as saying, quote, I kind of think he was doing a little shady work. It might have been bootlegging or something. That's what I figure. I don't know for sure, end quote. But in regards to finding his brother, he said, quote, I'm the happiest man in the world, end quote.
Well, that's adorable.
Yeah. One thing I was wondering as I was researching this story was if it hadn't been for the money, what would have separated George Marsh from every other case of someone dying seemingly without family? Would his story have been on Unsolved Mysteries? How great would it be for every person who died alone to be reconnected with their family? This is a bit personal, but we have a lost family member out there who we hope is living a good life, but we may never know. So there are groups like the DNA Doe Project and the Doe Network who are trying to give people back their name and give families back their loved one. So maybe we can all go check them out. Go check out their websites, look at some photos. Someone, somewhere, has the answer. Maybe that someone is you. So once again, I'm Athena.
I'm Chandra.
And this has been You Solved a Mystery. Connect with us on Instagram at You Solved a Mystery. Email us at YouSolvedAMystery@gmail.com. Leave us a rating or review if you'd be so kind. And tune in next time for another episode.